going?
Good. Sorry, I just woke up.
You know, I had a really hard time waking up because I also was up all night for some reason. I have like bad insomnia all of a sudden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That
But
sucks.
so I struggled to wake up too. So we're recording this literally at the last second.
Yeah, literally at the very last minute.
I mean, we could have recorded the other night, but kids. So.
Kids. Yep. And then last night, both of us were like, oh, yeah, we were doing that. Huh? Like, we'll just do it in the morning. It's okay.
Yeah. Which then, I'm glad, though, because was able to add a lot more to my notes this morning. Oh, so, yeah, that
see,
was good.
So it all worked out. It was meant to be.
Yeah. I guess you could call it that. It was a happy accident.
Yeah, exactly.
But happy new year. It's New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year. Have you decided on your resolution?
Yeah, they're super cliche though.
Well, what? What is it?
I have decided I have like a lifestyle resolution and then a health resolution. So my health one is just the obvious of like being better with eating habits and like not necessarily exercising every day, but like burning a certain amount of calories every day. So I could technically do that just doing laundry and chores, or I could choose to do that during like doing workouts and stuff. So I want to burn at least 500 calories a day. And then
just being active.
Yeah, just try to like not be on my butt so much. And then like my lifestyle one is like have more of a routine in my house with like the kids doing their homework at a certain time, them doing chores at a certain time, like me like making sure that my house is in order type of thing, which is sounds like a lot, but I feel like if I can do my schedule a certain way, then like my other goals will kind of follow in that.
Yeah, like structure.
Like, yeah, like I wake up a certain time and I do a workout or something. Then I get the kids up and then they go to school. During school, I do whatever I need to do during the day. Then after school, they do homework. Then they do chores. And then it's relaxed time for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I feel like doing all of that will kind of work with my health goals and my other goals.
Look at you.
We're going to see if I can do it.
It sounds possible.
Possible, but a little extra. But I went and got one of these planners.
I was just going to ask if you're going to write it all down. Because I feel like I would have to write it down.
Yeah.
Like, have, like, a whiteboard tell me what to do.
Well, so I'm going to have it on, like, our chalkboard in the kitchen.
Okay.
Like, everyone's on the same whatever. But then, like, my own personal stuff is going to be in this. So.
Oh, I like it.
Crossing my fingers that it can happen.
And so that's, like, a planner for the whole year?
Yeah. So it starts, just the whole year, I guess. It goes all the way till, well, it started in, I don't know. Starts in January, ends in December. So it's just
nice.
Just a regular one, but it's huge. So I have room to like write stuff down. Do you have any resolutions?
No. You know, I asked you and then I was like, crap, that means I have to have an answer.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I don't have one. I'll think about it.
Tell us by the end of the episode.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I will.
Okay.
I'll try.
So this story is real bad. It's one of those that's gonna possibly make you sick.
Oh no.
Yeah, so trigger warning, it's the worst. Like the worst story that
you're
there
gonna
is.
Say like the worst things I've ever heard you say.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is On Deck at Dusk, January 2023.
Oh yeah.
This is the true crime by me. And I'm April. and
I'm Katie.
And I'm gonna tell you a story, a true crime story for our On Deck at Dusk peeps.
Yep, hi Patreon members.
Yep, our
And
Patreon
Happy New Year
members.
to you.
They're hearing this January, but if you are not a Patreon member, you're probably hearing this in what, June?
Yeah.
June.
So the bees are
So,
buzzing and butterflies are flapping their wings.
and for today, us Patreon people, it is snowy and rainy in Utah.
Yeah, what's up with the rain? It's like downpouring outside.
What, right? It's like, why rain? Why is it, it's cold enough for it to be snow. So I'm
Yeah,
confused.
for freaking real.
It's cold.
It's effing cold
Yeah.
outside and it's raining. I don't understand.
And then all the rain freaking freezes over, and it's just scary business being out in the
Yeah.
world.
But hey, I got new tires now. And I'll tell
Oh,
you, there is
nice.
a difference. I can
Oh.
tell a difference. Like, I actually feel like when I press the gas, my car is going to actually go. So
Were they
that's nice.
bald?
Oh, they were bald, homie. Like, so bald that my car could tell me that I was getting no traction. Like, that little, like, light came on saying a swerving, but it's, like,
Oh.
dry outside. That's how bald they were. It was bad. It was
So
so
were they
bad.
the original tires to the van?
No, actually, so my mother-in-law and father-in-law gave us this van, and they said a year before they gave it to us, so it would have been June of 2021, they had all the tires replaced by some friend of the family who was like, "Oh yeah, I'm a mechanic, and I'll charge you like $1,000 to change your oil, give you new tires, do a whole tune-up and work up on it." Basically, yeah, he did not do a good job. I don't know what he did. I don't know. But
Maybe
like
they were
those
used tires.
tires, they could have, yeah, they were probably used. But after a year of driving on them and they're bald.
Sometimes if the alignment's bad or the tread is uneven, like if you have, and people who know cars are probably like, April, shut up, you don't know anything. But
Hey, you know more than me already.
I'm pretty sure that when the tread is different on each tire, then it makes them all like wear down easier. So that's why they suggest, like, if you are replacing like one tire, you should at least replace both tires on whatever back and front you're at.
Okay, yeah.
Some cars you have to replace all four at the same time if you replace one because of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet something along those lines happened.
Yeah, I bet if, especially if he didn't do a good job or whatever, that's probably what it was used tires and they weren't the right whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so far since getting this van in June, we've replaced the spark plugs, replaced the brakes, and the front rotors, all the tires. And rewired the fuel and got a new fuel pump and rewired the fuel pump.
Did you have to do a transmission thing, or was that just a fuel pump?
Oh, well, and our transmission is leaking. And so what we've done is we just put in like that stop leak stuff. And it worked for a little bit, but now it's leaking again.
Did
So,
you find the
and our
cap?
engine light is on. No, we never found the cap.
Oh. Did you have to buy one?
No, well, we will.
Was it just open
Well, we've covered it, you know, like with a
with something?
rag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so it wouldn't get dirty, but yeah.
Oh, cars, man. They suck
Dude,
hard.
they do suck hard. My goodness. Anyway, so maybe my resolution will be to like have a reliable vehicle by the end of the year.
That's a good idea. That's a really good
Yeah.
idea. Okay, so
So.
I'm going to tell you the worst story ever. Ugh.
Oh
Okay.
no. Okay. I'm bracing myself.
Okay. A 31-year-old mother of two was working the streets as a sex worker in downtown Vancouver, Canada. Wendy Eistetter, I think, went by the street name Stitch.
Okay.
One night, a man in an old pickup truck pulled up to her and showed her $100 in cash, which is like unheard of in that area because it's very, like, they explained it where it's like you have like high-end sex workers and then you have like the not so high-end sex workers, and they're
Okay.
usually cheaper and they are getting their money for drugs, so they'll kind of take whatever. So this
Okay.
$100 cash was like unheard of in that area. So she hopped in the truck because she was like $100. Nice. And the man that picked her up was none other than Robert William Picton. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. Well, hold your pants. I don't know.
Okay.
This just like, I'm sorry you have to hear this in your ear holes right now. Okay.
Okay.
So William Picton went by the name Willie. They drove roughly 17 miles outside of downtown Vancouver to his pig farm in Port Coquitlam, is what it's called. Coquitlam.
Okay.
They pulled up to his old rundown trailer home and they did the deed of what she came there to do. And afterward, Wendy asked if she could use the phone. Instead of responding, he just attacked her. He put a handcuff on her left wrist and stabbed her in the stomach.
Oh
She
my goodness.
fought back and she stabbed him as well. They tussled for a bit, and in this fight, she was stabbed a couple more times and he was stabbed a few more times. And she was able to get out because he lost consciousness, and she runs out.
Whoa.
And she has a total of 4 stab wounds and she's in critical condition, but she's determined to get away, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
fighting for her life.
So now I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger for a second. Willie Picton was born in 1949, had grown up working on his family's pig farm in Port Coquitlam with his 2 younger brothers. They weren't treated well by their parents. They basically valued their livestock over the children, and the children weren't really allowed to be kids and like run around and play. They were expected to work, and that was their life's goal. Just work. That's it. Their parents were super strict, right?
That's sad.
And Willie Picton was a quiet, small kid. He struggled to make friends, but that could have been because he had a very poor personal hygiene. So he just like smelled like a pig farm, you know? So when he would go to
Yeah.
school, no one wanted to be around him.
Yeah. That's sad.
As he grew up on his farm, one of his only connections to a living thing was his pet calf that he saw as his pet. But one day he came home from school and his dad had slaughtered his pet calf. So at this point, experts believe that this is one of the, or this is the beginning of his like disconnection to people.
Yeah, like because he just probably like lost all faith in others, you know?
Yeah. Well, and they believe that he just kind of decided that he was never going to love anything ever again because whenever he does, it's taken away. So he's like, what's the point? Okay.
That's so sad.
And as a young kid, his brother accidentally hit another child with the tractor because, I mean, they were young boys, but they were expected to work, right? So they're driving
Right.
tractors and stuff when they shouldn't have been. And he went, so his brother accidentally hit another kid with the tractor and like seriously injures him. He went to get their mom, and his mom came and she just chucked this kid's body in the lake. And
What?
yeah, and he wasn't even actually fully dead yet. Like, just tossed him in the lake in
My.
front of her children. Okay. So the kids witnessing this, they're like, oh, so
Like we don't matter.
like kids don't matter, life doesn't matter. So like
Yeah.
people's lives aren't valuable at all, right? So that's kind of where they get this idea from, is that it's just like, meh, who cares about people? Anyways, or life
Wow.
in general.
Holy moly. So did anybody go looking for that kid?
They did, but like they no one said a word, and it was on their farm in this pond, and no one found it. Like it's just, yeah, the kid
That
went
is so
missing
sad.
and was gone.
That's so sad.
As a teen, Willie Picton became a butcher's apprentice for roughly 6 years, and then he worked full-time at the family farm as a butcher. When he was about 29 years old, his father died, and then less than a year later, his mom also passed away. So, out of all his siblings, Picton was the only one that was interested in keeping the pig farm. So by default, it went to him, but he did split the land up with his brothers.
I see.
He began living a quiet life alone in his trailer, surrounded by the farm. And the farm was pretty run down. So it like didn't look like a functioning farm with a picket fence or anything like that. It was like debris and like muddy and kind of gross. Like it just wasn't. Like it was just run down looking.
Unkept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 1994, Willie Picton and his brother ended up selling some of their land and ended up with roughly $2 million.
Wow.
In 1995, Picton had all this money that he was able to use, where his only human interaction at this point was either with his brothers or with sex workers working in downtown Vancouver. So he used this money basically to pay for that. He
I see.
began searching in an area known as Low Track in downtown Eastside Vancouver. The women that were working those streets usually charged less than other area sex workers. So they, yeah, he it was the money went far, I guess.
Yeah.
In 1996, his brother opened up a nightclub on his little section of the family pig farm, and he called it Piggy's Palace Good Time Society.
Wow.
Yeah, so they hosted illegal drug and sex parties there, at night, and they would have like events where it was like, the party times or whatever. But then this place was actually sometimes used for like kids' parties during the day and like events, and like it was used as like an event center.
Like multi-purpose event center. Yeah, that's interesting.
So it was like almost everybody in the town, even children, had been at this Piggy Palace place. And then in 1997 is when he ended up picking up Wendy. So that's where we're at now. So
Okay.
he picked up Wendy, also known as Stitch, and so she had escaped, right? So she escaped from his attack, and she was critically injured. So she ran through the farm the best she could, as she knew she was like bleeding everywhere. And she ran onto the street where a car stopped for her. And this poor
Wow.
girl's, she's naked and handcuffed on one of her wrists and covered in blood. So she
Yeah.
screamed at them for help, and they called 911. An ambulance came and picked her up, and just down the road from the pig farm, and they took her to the hospital. At the hospital, she was in really bad shape, so she had to immediately go into surgery. She almost died a few times on the operating table, but the surgeons were able to patch her up, and Wendy pulled through.
Dang.
While Wendy was in surgery, Picton went to the same ER that she went into for his wounds. An orderly at the hospital found a key in his pocket that they were able to match the handcuffs on Wendy's wrists. So Willie Picton was arrested and charged with attempted murder, assault, and forcible confinement. But because she had such a severe addiction problem, Wendy was unable to give a coherent statement of what happened, and Willie Picton was let go. And the case was dismissed.
Oh my gosh, I've heard of that happening where they're like, well, you were technically on drugs, so who's to say if that really happened?
Right, like it could have
And
been
it's.
she stabbed him first and he was defending, and like her like, because she was so strung out, she couldn't give a real, like, viable statement, you know?
Oh no.
Yeah. So,
Oh, that's not fair, but it's also like, but how do you get the real story? You know, so
right.
people aren't being like wrongfully convicted, but it's also like, but look at the evidence. Clearly he did it.
Right.
Like
Seriously.
clearly. Oh, that's so
Like, what? I
not
mean,
fair.
I know there are like certain rules put in place, but like you can tell. Ugh, but then they have to be able to like get the evidence enough to have him charged and in prison for a certain amount of time and, you know, all that stuff. So,
Yeah.
unfortunately, over the next 5 years after this incident with Wendy, Willie Picton would successfully solicit roughly 49 other women who disappeared without a trace.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And I can only guess what happened to them.
Right. Well, it's bad. Okay. So Detective Inspector Kim Rossmo was a geographic profile expert with the Vancouver Police. And he was assigned to the case of an alarming amount of missing women from the downtown Vancouver area. Detective Rossmo, looking at the data he gathered going 20 years back, noticed a spike of missing women starting in 1995, where almost 30 women were missing in that year, compared to earlier years where maybe 0 to 3 people would go missing. So 30
Yeah.
is a big spike, right?
Right.
So as Rossmo continued to look into the patterns, data, and numbers, these were some things that he would come across. In August 1997, Lynn and Rick Frey were in their home in Campbell River on Vancouver Island, and they were waiting to hear from their daughter, Marnie. It was her birthday, and she called and said, Do you know what day it is? And since it was her birthday, she wanted to come home and visit. And her mom was excited and said, "Great, I'll come get you." But Marnie said, "No, I'm going to come home, or I'm not going to come home today. I'll come tomorrow. Tonight, I'm going to go celebrate with some friends." So,
Okay.
her dad, Rick, described his daughter as a quiet girl that loved animals and the outdoors. And as she got older, her mom said she was already doing drugs before she left home. And then when she left home, she ended up in the downtown Vancouver area. Unfortunately, the party that Marnie ended up with on her 24th birthday was in downtown Vancouver, where she was picked up by Willie Picton and was never heard from again. By 1998,
No.
9 more women disappeared from the downtown Vancouver area. And Picton and his brother Dave were, though, so during this time, we know that Willie's kind of involved in this, right? He
Okay.
was still busy with the business on the pig farm. He was, you know, slaughtering pigs on site, and then he would take their carcasses to a meat rendering plant, and it was common for local farmers to dispose of animal carcasses at the plant with no paper trail. So like it was just kind of like a dumpster type thing. And you didn't have to
Okay.
sign in, sign out. You didn't have to like say what you brought. It was just kind of what all the livestock farmers did in the area.
Okay.
So Picton seemed to frequently hire people that were newly released from jail or down on their luck, and he would pay them under the table to work on the farm. One of those people included a woman named Lynn, and Lynn lived and worked on the farm for several months. She was able to work there to pay for her drug habit. Like, that's where all her money went.
Okay.
Lynn knew Picton brought home sex workers often, and she also noticed that there was a problem in the downtown area where sex workers were frequently going missing.
Okay.
She didn't quite put two and two together.
But she was aware of the two things happening.
Right. The
I see.
officers assigned to this task force of missing women weren't sure if these women just moved on and without telling anybody, or if they had been victims of some kind. They just didn't know because there was no
That's hard.
evidence. And the weird
Yeah.
thing is, no bodies have been found. No bodies have like come up, and usually, they'd find something, but nothing. They just literally disappeared. So it just left them with little evidence to steer them in any direction, right? And because of that, the officers' attention usually went to active murder cases and day-to-day crime that took up their resources. So the task force wasn't their main priority at this point because they had nothing to go on.
I wonder if Wendy at that time was like reading newspapers and being like, gee, maybe I know,
I kind of wondered why she never was like, hey, this is probably what's happening, but maybe she just trauma, was just like,
Yeah, never wanted to revisit any of
right.
that again. That's
Yeah.
fair.
On March 2nd, 1999, Picton picked up 34-year-old Georgina Papin. Similar to Wendy, he gave her money, more than she usually got, when she worked the streets, and she got into his truck and they headed to the pig farm. Lynn, who worked on the farm, right, who knew that he brought home people, joined them for drugs and alcohol and just a party, right? And eventually Lynn fell asleep. But then when Lynn woke up, she noticed that the light was on in the slaughterhouse, which was uncommon to use at night, right? So she went to check it out, and when she looked through the crack in the door, she saw the dead body of Georgina Papin on a hook and Picton slicing her body open. Ugh. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh
Yeah.
no.
And so Picton, he saw her, saw Lynn, and threatened her and said, if you say a word about what you've seen, you'll end up like she is. So Lynn, terrified for her life, did not notify police, but continued to work on the farm because she needed money for drugs, right? But though she didn't tell police, she did go and tell her friends. So, luckily, one of the friends did contact police. And the police didn't hesitate to bring in Lynn to interview her. But after, like, the police, I feel like, and they mention it later, but they didn't do what they should have done in a lot of this. So after about 12 minutes of interviewing Lynn, they didn't get any information from her and they just let her go. They're just like, oh well, I mean, if you're not going to talk, whatever.
Well,
So
she's
yeah, because she's probably on drugs, and so you can't, like, they choose not to believe the people that are on drugs or listen to what they're saying or anything like that. So they were a little hasty in bringing her in because they didn't prepare with logical questions. Like, they didn't prepare of like what to ask and like how to go about the interview with the information that they've already received from the friend. So they just kind of brought her in really quick, and then they're like, oh well, you're not giving us any information, so bye. So they should have done a little more investigating before they brought her in, but they did not. So when Lynn was released, she went to Picton and said, hey, you have to pay me more money because I want to go on a cruise, and the police are looking into you and breathing down my neck, so you have to pay me more to keep me quiet. So women continue to go missing, though. 31-year-old Brenda Wolf, who had once been an addict herself, had gotten clean. And she was in the downtown east side, but she was protecting the women working. So she was like, kind of like the, I don't know, she was just like the mom of all these women that were working and
Like the
whatever. And she
mother
was
hen.
right. And so, but she suspiciously went missing February 1999. Oh. At this point, families of the missing women are becoming frustrated that police don't have the time to focus on their cases. They go to police and they say, my loved one is missing and you're not doing anything. And they kind of brush them off because they're like, what do you expect? They're sex workers, they're drug addicts. So they're probably off getting high somewhere and just not contacting you. So they literally, like, they have this task force for missing women, but initially, whenever people come to like report missing or follow up on missing people, they're just like, stop. Like, we don't have time for this. Like, they don't take it as seriously as they should, right?
Wow, I
They
can
and
only
they,
imagine what that would be like as the family member,
right?
you
The
know?
moms, the dads, the siblings, and they're just like, just help me. And they're like brushing them off. And I can only imagine how like frustrating and like devastating that is, just because of your loved one's way of life that they've decided that they're not worth their time, you know? So they're getting increasingly frustrated. So Rick and Lynn, Frey, who is Marnie Frey's parents, they start to do some work on their own, and they would go to Vancouver and walk the streets with pictures of their daughter. And they on the streets, she didn't go by Marnie, she went by Kit Kat or something like that. So they are like, hey, have you seen her? Can you tell me where she might have been? And they spend so much time doing that and not getting any information because everyone on this street is on drugs and not coherent enough to even.
And they probably don't even know when they last saw anybody,
Right. Yeah. They're all just kind of like unhelpful, right? So even the families aren't getting anywhere. But they also don't have very many resources like the police do. So by 2001, the number of missing women had reached 60. And
Oh my
authorities still had
gosh.
not found any bodies or remains that would point to these missing women, which is frustrating for all the victims' families, right? And now the Vancouver Police Department couldn't look the other way because the number had reached a certain amount, right? And they're like, this is too big. So the Vancouver PD and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Force launched a joint missing BC missing women investigation and posted a $100,000 reward for anyone who had information on the victims. The task force received almost 12,000 calls, but the overwhelming amount of calls definitely stressed the resources of this investigation team. But to Detective Rossmo, a name stuck out, which is Willie Picton, a pig farmer who had previously attacked a sex worker from the downtown east side. So, yeah, so Willie became a suspect, right? So they brought Picton in for questioning and the interview. He admits to stabbing Wendy, but says, I don't do drugs, I don't drink, but everyone else does. Because that's supposed to mean something. And an officer asked, have you ever taken any prostitutes back to your trailer? And he said, not since this incident, talking about Wendy. And so, since he was very polite and seemed to be cooperating, they didn't see a reason to keep him and they let him go.
Well, what about like what Lynn said to her friend? Like, don't they keep that on record?
You think
Like some
so?
kind of like note that says, oh, by the way, we got this tip. Like we couldn't prove it or like whatever, but this did come through so that when they're looking at him for this, they can be like, oh yeah, and remember this rumor
Remember?
that's
Yeah, but I don't know how they keep records, or at least back then, maybe they didn't keep certain things, or it was just like a word of mouth, like, oh, let's check in on this, but no, like records were kept, you know?
That's so
I don't
weird.
know, but you'd
I don't know
think,
either.
right? You'd
You
think
think.
in logically
I
they
would. I don't
yeah.
know.
Or like someone in the area would, like one of the other police officers would have been like, hey, you remember that one lady that said this about this guy? But whatever, no one likes to be helpful to each other.
Listen, when I worked in the clinic, they always said you can never over document.
I
So I feel
think
like
that's
that should
true.
apply to the police and detectives. Like
Right?
you can't overdo the information, you know?
Exactly. I mean,
Anyway.
from my perspective, I would think more information is better, but maybe they have a certain like system of like what information is important to keep or
Yeah, like
what.
a 60-word count.
Yeah, they're
Like
like
once you got to 600 or 600, I meant like 60.
Twitter limits. Like, sorry, like you can't. Yeah. Okay. But they don't have enough concrete evidence to keep him. They just have this heavy suspicion that this is their guy. So they keep him on the top of their suspect list as they continue to investigate. But on June 2001, or in June 2001, Andrea Josbury is she so she's a part of this methadone program, and she's close to being completely sober. So like how it works is like they have the, and I don't know if they do this in the United States, but in Canada, it seems like they have this program where you can, if you're an addict and you're part of this program, you can come and get doses of whatever you're addicted to, and they slowly and slowly become smaller until you're sober. So it's like they'll provide you the pharmaceutical whatever
That's interesting.
until you're completely sober, which I'm like, don't you think they have the ability to go and get more though?
Yeah.
So she's a part of this program, and so she shows up at the pharmacy at an exact time to come and get her methadone. And when Andrea abruptly stopped coming to the pharmacy to pick up her prescription, the pharmacist reported her missing because they're like, she's been here on the clock, you know, and she's almost
Yeah.
done with her program. She wouldn't miss this. But
Right.
she's been reported missing, which it's possible, I mean, that the police officers were like, well, but what if she just relapsed?
Yeah, but it just sounds like they're not giving any of these like people a chance, you know?
Right.
Like not even a
They're
chance.
like, well, you know the type, and what the type does is what the type does. So
That's really heartbreaking.
I know it, like, if they just give them a little bit more investigation and more attention and more, I mean, you can only do so much with the resources you have. Also, like police officers, like they had budget cuts, and so they had less police officers working in a certain area. So like they also are dealing with their own shit and their own abilities to do things, but you're just like, come on, someone just take it seriously for 5 seconds.
Right, exactly.
And just a few weeks after Andrea went missing, a woman named Serena also went missing. And then in November, just after that, a woman named Mona also went missing.
Oh my gosh.
So he brought, so this woman named Mona, she was offered free drugs and alcohol to get into Picton's truck. And so she got in, and he brought her to the trailer behind the barn, and they did their deed, I guess. Let's see. And then they started to argue afterwards. I'm not sure about what, but in response, Picton pulled out a 22 caliber revolver and shot Mona in the head, and then dumped her body in a trash can.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And in February 2002, the BC Missing Women investigators got a call from a truck driver that temporarily worked on the Picton farm, and he saw an e illegal firearm in Picton's trailer. So they are like, okay, we can work with this, right? So by February 5th, 2002, police were able to get a search warrant for his trailer. Unfortunately, the policeman that went to serve the search warrant was very new to the job. And he got into the trailer. He didn't notice the gun that they had been called about, but he did see identifications of many women in his trailer. So
Holy crap.
so this police officer that went to serve the warrant, he radioed to the task force that was working on the missing women's cases and said, hey, this is what I'm finding. And the task force was like, hey, get out of that trailer. Get out. Because in Canada, if you have a search warrant for a specific thing, like the gun, you cannot now go on a hunt for anything else. Your only focus is the gun. That could be true in the United States also, but I'm not 100%.
That's
So
interesting.
you, if you find something else, you have to immediately leave the premises and get a new warrant for the very specific thing you saw.
I don't like that though, because what
Yeah.
if he goes and removes everything?
Right.
You know, Like, what if he's like, oh crap, he saw all that, and then goes and like disposes of it, and then the officer goes back to look for the things that he saw, and it's gone.
But from what I understand in this
Oh,
part, Picton was not in the trailer when the police officer was there. So he didn't
okay.
know what they found. He wasn't like nearby. So what they had to do is they had to like make a perimeter and not let anybody in or out of that perimeter, so they had time to go get the search warrant. So
Okay.
they were able to get the search warrant, luckily, for what they needed. And in the trailer, they found identification with many women's names, transient cards belonging to many women, notebooks with women's names, garbage bags full of women's clothes, and other personal items of women, like inhalers and stuff like that. And just within like a couple days, the Picton Farm became one of the biggest crime scenes in Canadian history.
What?
Yeah, Willie Picton was arrested and during the search on the farm, and during his interrogation, Picton was uncooperative. Police had to change kind of how they went about it because they needed to get information, right? So police put Willie Picton into a cell with an undercover police officer, in which he starts to brag about his crimes because it's
Oh,
a
so
fellow
smart that
criminal.
they do undercover work like that. Like,
No,
I
I
know it
love,
exists, but like, I love when they use it. It's like, yeah,
I know. Can't you do
go
this
team.
more? I know, huh?
Right.
So to this undercover officer, he's like talking about like what he's in there for. And he tells this guy that or the undercover officer starts to prompt him for information, like subtly, but Willie Picton's like willing to give information to a fellow
Yeah.
criminal, right?
Yeah,
And
like the undercover cop is just like, what else happened?
I'm no way, that's so cool. Like, tell me more.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Exactly.
Picton says, quote, I'm gonna do, or I was gonna do one more, make it an even 50. That's why I was sloppy. I wanted one more, make the big 50.
50, but wasn't there 60 people missing?
Yeah, but that, I mean, those other 10 were kind of like just within the numbers, you know? So
Oh.
yeah, those
Oh.
were, that was the data they
Okay.
were getting, but his numbers
I
weren't.
see.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, oh, I just wanted to make an even 50. So at this time, Picton has confessed to the undercover officer that he killed 49 women, but forensic investigators had to get the evidence to corroborate that confession, right?
Right.
So by February 22nd, 2002, they had enough evidence to identify the remains of at least Mona Wilson and Serena Abbotsway, so they could at least charge him for those two murders, right?
Right.
But then, just a couple of months later, on April 2nd, 2002, three more charges were added to the murders, or were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. Shortly after, they found the bodies of Andrea Josbury and Brenda Wolfe. So
Wow.
then, a few months later, on September 20th, 2002, they find the remains of four more women: Georgina Pappin, Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger. And
Oh my
authorities tacked
gosh.
on those charges as well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is gonna be that there's a lot.
Yeah.
October 3rd, 2002, four more victims have been identified, and Picton was charged with the murders of Heather Chinnick, Tanya Holick, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall. At this
I
point,
wonder
oh.
if they just took, like, I wonder if they were just taking all the IDs they had, you know? And they were just like marking them off the list. Like,
I
yep, we
bet.
found them. Yep, we found them. Yep, we found them. So they probably knew what the number was going to be. They just had to find the evidence to
They had
charge
to
him with.
find like the DNA evidence to match the
Right.
identifications they found.
What a heartbreaking case to work on, you know?
Can you
Imagine
imagine?
being there and having like and having that job,
Yeah, I
you
think
know, or the
it ended
whole.
up being 2 years that they
Oh my
were
gosh.
investigating this and finding things. And then at this point, Picton's victim count was at 15 victims, making this investigation the largest serial killer in Canadian history. March 11th, 2004, Canadian health officials made a statement alerting the public that some of the product from Picton Farm may still be sitting in some people's freezers, and that the product could be contaminated and contain human remains.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Ugh. Ugh.
It makes you not want to eat pork.
You don't know what's in these things sometimes, you
You
know?
don't know because like if you now I'm thinking like you know the whole like spider thing like how they're always like around like
Yeah.
what kind of like
Mystery meat.
sickos are working in like the meat factories you know and just being
Yeah.
like oh I need to get rid of this.
Doesn't it make you sick? I never want to eat pork again. I'm not even kidding.
Oh my
Like ground pork, I will never have again.
Hi. So, are you gonna tell me that people found human remains in their freezers?
Well, they don't know if they, because so the Picton Farm did not sell commercially. It was more local, like to other farms and
Like at
like,
arenas or something?
yeah. So the people who purchased the pork meat may have already consumed this stuff. It is likely that they had because it was 2 years later that they found this evidence, right? So
Yeah,
it's
and who keeps
likely,
pork longer than 2 years?
I mean, unless you freeze it, but like the
Right.
likelihood that they hadn't already consumed it. Ugh, but the evidence had shown that Picton was feeding the remains of the women to the pigs, as well
Oh.
as the human flesh being kind of ground up with the pork meat.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Like they confirmed that he was doing that.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, because they found a lot of the remains in the pig pen.
Right.
And so they know that he was not only feeding the pigs to get rid of evidence, but also just like throwing that the remains with the pork meat. Oh, it makes me so sick. Like I don't want to eat today. Like it's so gross.
Oh, that's horrible.
And can you imagine being someone that got meat from this farm like consistently, and you're like, I would feel almost like I was a part of the crime. Like I literally
Yeah.
consumed these victims. Oh.
Right. Like, not that you'd have, like, not that it was your fault. It's just
No, but
like,
it's
oh
just
my
like
gosh,
I'm
I
involved in this.
participated.
Yes.
And imagine if you were, because I mean, like, the families were locals.
Yeah.
It's a family's chopped there, you know? Like,
Yeah.
imagine if it ran down that way and they're like, oh my goodness.
I
Like,
could have consumed my own loved one. Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It just makes me so sick.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna eat today, if anything.
I know. I feel like the only thing you can
I'll
really
eat
trust is
Oreos.
like chicken breasts because like you can't, they're not ground up. It's just that's what it is.
Yeah, chickens aren't gonna eat anything but like what corn.
Yeah. So
Oh, there, that's safe.
I had hoped so anyways. Like I'm just freaked out.
I didn't know that pigs ate meat.
They will pretty much eat anything you put in front of them, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I
Like,
didn't know that.
have you seen? I'm pretty sure that this story has been referenced
I
in
do recognize some
Criminal
things.
Minds, and I'm
And wasn't
pretty
there
sure CSI or something.
that 911 call movie, The Caller or something? Remember how there's
Don't
that
know.
dispatch lady who goes and
Oh
saves the
yeah.
girl and it's on
Yeah.
a pig farm?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to check. I'm not 100% sure, but there have been like movies made. There have been like songs written about this and referencing
Ew.
him. I know, super gross and insensitive, I feel like. Like that's just
Yeah.
ugh. On May 26, 2005, 12 more charges were added for the murders of Kara Ellis, Andrea Boerhaven, Deborah Lynn Jones, Marnie Frey, Tiffany Drew, Carrie Kowski, Sarah DeVries, Cynthia Felix, Andrea Jardine, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and a Jane Doe that they couldn't identify. So now the Picton charges were a total of 27 counts of first degree murder.
Holy crap.
And that those are the ones that they could identify. There were many, many remains that they could not identify. So, the trial began January 30th, 2006, where Willie Picton pleaded not guilty to 27 counts of first degree murder in the Supreme Court of British Columbia. The judge reached an agreement with Picton's defense team to split the trial into two separate trials. Trial one would be the charges of the six women they were able to identify initially, and then the trial two would be the 20 other women they were able to find, or sorry, they were only able to find partial remains and evidence. So, they put it to 20 instead of 21 because of the Jane Doe. They couldn't
Oh.
identify her as a person, so they dropped her charge.
That's so sad.
I know. The trial for the first six charges began January 22nd, 2007, where he was facing first degree murder charges for the deaths of Marnie Frey, Serena Abbotsway, Georgina Papin, Andrea Jonesbury, Brenda Wolfe, and Mona Wilson. In the opening statements, Crown Counsel Daryl Previtt told the jury of the evidence that was found on the Picton farm, which included skulls cut in half with hands and feet stuffed inside. The remains of other victims were,
What?
yeah, well, of another victim was found in a garbage bag at the bottom of a trash can, and her bloody clothes were found in Picton's trailer. Part of another victim's jawbone and teeth were found in the garage or in the ground beside the slaughterhouse. And a
Oh my
22,
gosh.
this is bad. The 22 caliber revolver they found had a dildo attached to it that contained both his DNA and the victim's DNA in his laundry room. That he used the dildo over the revolver as a silencer. And they found one bullet had been used.
Oh.
People are freaking sick. I'm sorry that I had to start the year with like such a horrible story, but
Yeah.
it is what it is.
You should be sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, Happy New Year. Here's the most horrible thing you've heard. Like, let's
Yeah.
start your year off with the worst story you can imagine.
Right. You're really raising the bar.
I know, sorry.
Oh my gosh.
At the trial, they played a videotaped recording for the jury. In the recording, that like Picton was explaining what the dildo attached to a revolver was for. And then in another videotape, they showed the jury shown had shown the jury of Picton's friend named Scott Chubb. He was telling police that Picton told him a good way of killing a female heroin addict was to inject her with windshield washer fluid.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I know.
Don't.
Another video of
No.
a man named Andrew Bellwood said Picton mentioned killing prostitutes by handcuffing and strangling them, then bleeding and gutting them before feeding them to the pigs. Why these people did not go to police when he said this is pissing me
Yeah.
off. Like, if your friend goes and tells you want to know the best way to do this, you go to the police and say, this freak just told me this, and I'm pretty sure he's done it because who else would think of that?
Yeah, and then you cut him off as your friend.
Right. Why would they keep their mouths shut? I don't understand. The prosecution was also able to get Lynn, the woman who worked for him and witnessed things, to testify against him in the trial. And she was able to explain to the jury what she saw in the slaughterhouse that night. And on December 9th, 2007, after a lengthy trial, the jury returned with a verdict. They found Picton not guilty for first degree
What?
murder. Yeah. But guilty for second degree murder. So let me tell you the difference. So first degree murder is usually an intentional, premeditated murder, and where they may be stalked and planned for a long period of time to murder this one person intentionally. Like they targeted them and killed that person. A second degree
Okay.
murder is more like an unintentional but unplanned and kind of happens randomly. So like he didn't
Okay.
specifically say Marnie Frey is a person I want to kill, so I'm going to find her and kill her. It
It
was
wasn't
more
about the
person themselves.
individual.
Yes, it was literally lack for who these people are and you know whatever they just he just said whoever gets in my truck is who I'm killing. So
So scary.
that's why the second degree murder is the one that they landed on, which I think makes sense. But when you think not guilty, like he's the most guilty,
Yeah, the most guilty.
but that description kind of makes sense as to why they
Yeah,
found it that way.
yeah.
Okay, so the second degree murder is what he's charged with. And he was sentenced to life in prison, and he had to serve 25 years until he's eligible for parole, which I don't
Why not death
understand.
penalty?
I know.
I...
If anything qualifies as like a death penalty, I was like, this has to be it. 'Cause like, what a
Yeah.
disregard for life in general. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, would he even care? I was thinking about that. Like, if he doesn't care about life, why does he care about his own? You know?
I mean, I guess
Like, why did he take himself to the ER
it's
for
like just
stab
let
wounds?
yourself bleed out, man.
Like,
Right.
why does he care?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's a double standard.
I do. Don't you just wish that Stitch was able to just, or Wendy, whatever she wants to go by, that she was able to get him, you know,
Yeah,
initially? Like, too
right.
bad she didn't hit something like crucial, like an artery or something. Like, I
Right.
amazing for her to fight back like she did. Like, I'm
Yeah,
so happy that she was
and
able to get
survive.
away, stab him in the heart or whatever. But you know, I or that the police freaking charged him with something then. Who the hell knows?
Ugh.
But this guy is the worst kind of guy. My goodness.
He is the exact worst kind of guy. He's up there on the people that should be on death row. Like, the hell?
Or dead, just
Why are we
like
even talking about parole?
I
Like,
know.
he doesn't even deserve that.
But it's Canada, and I think Canada is like a we can reform type place, which I'm like, good for you for people that can be reformed. But I think this guy cannot. He
And does he
can't.
deserve to? Does he
No.
deserve it?
No.
He doesn't.
Ugh. Okay.
Gosh. Okay.
So
This is
he was.
upsetting.
I know he was charged and sentenced for the first six murders, right? And they also had that second trial that they were going to do because they split them up, that had a little less
Right.
evidence and less whatever. So the Supreme Court of Canada, oh sorry, hold on. Before that, let's see, Pickton was sentenced to life in prison to serve 25 years without the possibility of parole. So he has 25 years until he can be eligible. The Supreme Court of
Yeah.
Canada denied his right to appeal the sentencing, and the government of British Columbia decided not to proceed with the second trial of the remaining 20 counts of first degree murder.
Why?
Because I think they thought it, I mean, we got him, so we don't need to add more to it with the resources and whatever. What an injustice to the families of those 20 women.
Because imagine if it was another 25 years for that second trial. So then he has 50 years before he's eligible for parole,
And
and then he'd
probably,
probably be dead.
exactly. Why?
I'm upset.
I know, so am I. So those women didn't get justice for their murders, and I'm
My
just
gosh.
so angry about it. Anyways, at a press conference, Deputy Chief Constable, which I love the names of their officers. I like the Crown. What was his name? Hold on, I gotta find it.
Like, they sound like chess pieces.
Yeah, the Crown Council And then the chief
Constable.
constable, it's like, you sound like you should be wearing the get
Hats.
ups. Yeah. Anyways,
Yeah, you probably do. You think they
deputy,
do?
I don't
I
know. I don't know.
don't know.
Deputy Chief Constable Doug Lepard of the VPD apologized to the victim's family, saying, quote, "I wish from the bottom of my heart that we would have had caught him sooner. I wish that the several agencies involved that we could have done better in so many ways. I wish that all the mistakes that were made could we could undo, and I wish that more lives could have been saved. So on be my behalf and the behalf of Vancouver Police Department and all the men and women that worked on this investigation, I would say to the families how sorry we are, we all are for your losses and because we did not catch this monster sooner." So at least he took responsibility
Accountability.
and that they effed up. Like they just could
Did
have
they
done
get
more.
any sort of like settlement money though?
I don't
Like
think
the
so.
family. Oh,
Not that
that's
I
so
could,
sad.
not that I read. They could
So,
have, but
absolutely no justice whatsoever. Nothing. Oh.
Okay. So these are the names of the 30 victims they ended up finding evidence for on the property. So his number was 49, but they were able to find evidence for 30 victims. So I'll read you their names.
Okay.
Maria Laura Lalabarte. I don't know. She went missing January 1997. Kelly Little went missing April 1997. Helen Hallmark, June 1997, which he was charged with her murder. Janet Henry, June 1997. Marnie Frey, August 1997. Jacqueline Murdoch, August 1997. Cindy Beck, September 1997. Andrea Borhoven in 1997. They're not sure the month that she passed. Sherry Irving, April 1997. Cindy Felix, November 1997. Carrie Koski, January 1998. Inga Hall, February 1998. Sarah DeVries, April 1998. Aline Dumba, April 1998. Sheila Egan, July 1998. Julie Young, October 1998. Angela Jardine, November 1998. Marcella Creason, December 1998. Michelle Garney or Gurney, December 1998. Ruby Hardy, 1998. Tanya or Tanya per Peterson in 1998. Tammy Fairbairn, in 1998. Jacqueline McDonald, 1999. Georgina Papin, March 1999. Brenda Wolf, February 1999. Wendy Crawford, November 1999. Jennifer Firminger, December 1999. Tiffany Louise Drew, December 1999. Dawn Cray, November 2000. Deborah Jones, December 2000. Shara Abraham in 2000. Patricia Johnson, March 2001. Yvonne Marie Bowen, March 2001. Heather Bottomley, April 2001. Heather Chinnick, April 2001. Angela Josbury, June 2001. Serena Abbotsway, August 2001. Diana Rock, October 2001. And Mona Wilson, November 2001.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And there's
Almost every
more.
single month.
Almost. But there's more. They just don't have their bodies.
Yeah. I was trying to keep track for each year, and I think you said almost each month for each year. And then some of the year, like 99, there was three of them that we don't know the month, but that would fill in the months that you didn't say, which were March, May, and June.
Isn't that crazy? 2000 seemed only had three victims, but I bet those were included in the bodies they didn't find.
Right.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely nuts. The last known location of Robert Picton is re recorded in 2018. He's about 74 at that time. Picton was transferred to a maximum security penitentiary in Port Cartier Institution in Quebec. He's eligible for parole in February 2024, and it's unlikely, but they think it's unlikely he'll ever be released from his cell and see the light of day. So he's in a maximum security place. So at least
Damn.
he like literally has zero,
Hope.
freedom,
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst thing you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah. In a lot of different ways. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
In
It's like,
so many ways.
I'm sure from this story, police have reformed some of the ways that they handle cases, especially for vulnerable people like sex workers, addicts, like you'd hope that they take it more seriously after this, because it's like, why look the other way? Like, what? I mean, your gut can tell you, oh, they probably ran away, or they probably like are off doing drug things or off doing whatever. But
But at
give
least
the
find that out.
families, give the victim, give the families the time and attention that they deserve, Oh my gosh, it makes me so sad that this was even possible for him to get away with for so long. And the people that knew didn't say shit. Like that piggy palace that was on the property, right? They like this Picton guy was creepy as fuck, and people said like there was something wrong with him, And so because he would go there, I mean, his brother owned it and whatever. But I feel like they could have, like, people had to have known. People had to have seen something. And, like, you get the two
Or
other,
smell something.
right? Oh my gosh. And all the people that he had working there, don't you think they would have seen something in the pig pen, in the slaughterhouse?
Blood, you know?
I mean, I guess, how could you tell the difference between pig blood and just blood is blood,
Yeah, I guess. But like if the pigs are eating something bloody,
Oh, true.
you
Because don't you
know?
just feed them like grains normally?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like vegetables and I don't
Well,
know.
sorry to start your year off with like such a horrible like story, but this
Oh
is to all our people in the law enforcement that we hope that things are better than what they were in Canada 90s and 2000s. Just care. I mean, I
Just
guess,
care. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
that's all we're asking for. I do think it's gotten better in like these times where like modern days, I guess, we are a little bit more like we're not as dismissive. I think people in general are not as dismissive of sex workers and what they do and what kind of people they are and whatever. I think they're more respected now as like work is work and they're doing what they got to do. I think now people are a little bit more accepting of that. And so I would hope, I mean, watching SVU and like, I know that's not real, but like how they seem to care, you hope that there are departments in these law enforcement groups that care for these special victims, no matter who they are.
Yeah, it does make me wonder, like, if in the police academy or whatever, if they use this story as an example of like, this is why you can't just brush it off because
Yeah.
of what you think is going on. Oh,
I
man,
know.
dude, that's just such a bummer.
It's hard not to
So
have a bummer,
sad.
but I did have a story I was working on and I gave up halfway through it because I was like, this is not, I mean, I'm saving it for my next on deck at dusk, but I wish now, I wish I would have done that one because it wasn't so dark. But
No, I mean, thank you for telling that story and good research. Good research. I appreciated that. You can say it sucked because it sucked. Like, it just is
No,
cringeworthy.
I just hate that that even happened.
I
And
know.
like, it sucks that more than half the victims didn't even get justice.
Yeah, only six of them.
Yeah. And that, like, if the police would have taken the first victim seriously,
Right.
then possibly the rest of it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And
He
that's really
could.
upsetting.
It's just like he got away with so much. And like, right.
And he probably knew it. He's probably like, they're never gonna care about these people, because he was right. They
Yeah. I
didn't.
mean, he, so as he was doing what he was not seeing anything reported in the newspapers. He wasn't seeing the police working on it. He wasn't seeing anything. So he was like, I'm good. I can do whatever I want. No one's going to care because these people are drug addicts and sex workers. And so no one cares about them. So I can do as I please. And he had that mindset for how many years? And he was right.
Yeah. That's what's so upsetting, is that he got away with it because he figured that out.
And the numbers had to get to 60 before they created a task force.
Yep.
60.
And all the people that knew about it, like, imagine if they came forward collectively.
Yeah, right? All
Or
at the same time.
if the police took notes on the people who said, oh yeah, Lynn saw this. Like, what the hell? Like,
Right.
why didn't anything happen with that after he was already like charged, or not charged, but like after the stabbing incident?
Or when they heard about what Lynn had said from a third party, they could have investigated a little bit, watched him a little bit. Like, what I mean, and then brought Lynn in and said, this is what we've seen. Can you corroborate this or whatever? And like, make even if she's a drug addict and not coherent, at least you can say like yes or no questions, or like, what can you, they could have gone about certain things so different. And I'm glad that they made a statement saying we messed up and we should have done things differently. That tells me that they are willing to take accountability and then change, you know? But like, 60 women had to go missing before they even gave a shit. It makes me so mad. But, anyways.
Well,
Where do you leave it? See, at this point, this is where in our normal episodes we'd have a ghost story that we could joke about and lighten the mood a little bit, and now we're just kind of left with like this feeling of sadness and
Sad.
anger.
Yeah, like, gee. Well,
So,
everybody.
okay, let's leave it on this. Katie, did you figure out a resolution?
No. Wait.
I'm gonna be vegetarian. Just kidding.
Seriously, like, I'm not gonna eat pork
Yeah.
for the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see how long I can go without eating pork. I bet I can do it.
I bet I could. Maybe bacon is a little pushing it, but
Yeah,
that's
because I mean,
like
that's
ground pork.
okay. Yeah, bacon's okay, but
Yeah.
other than that, no pork for
Oh, dang,
me.
but that leaves out sausage.
How often are you eating sausage?
I mean, I go to McDonald's for a sausage McMuffin all the time.
Imagine how much of that is actually sausage.
I know. Okay. I think I get, maybe I'll just get, maybe I'll just eat eggs for the rest of my
Hey,
life.
no, I know. Did you know that cinnamon McDonald's has cinnamon rolls?
Yes, they do.
They
That's
are
good.
so good.
They're very good.
I'm just gonna eat that from now on.
Yeah, or just eggs.
Just eggs?
Just
Yeah, I can do
eggs.
eggs.
Like, if I need
Eggs.
protein, it's gonna be eggs. Because you know what? Those
What?
can't be messed with, can they?
Don't look it up, but probably not.
Don't
Right?
Google it. I
Yeah.
don't know. Maybe
You
forever.
should
I'll
get your own
just.
chicken. Get your own chicken. Have your own eggs.
That's a good idea, because then I can guarantee they haven't been messed with. Right. Yeah, I'm not gonna eat pork anymore. I think that's just official. Other than bacon, no more pork. Well,
How do you know? Where do you draw the line? I don't know. Anyway, worst story of all time.
yeah, that really is.
Sorry about
I'm gonna
it.
go just sit with myself for a while.
Let's go distract ourselves with New Year's exciting fun. Maybe go sledding
Yeah.
with your kids.
Oh yeah, we've done that twice already this week.
Oh,
We
did
went
you
and got
get
sleds.
sleds?
Yeah.
Where did you get them at?
Walmart. They
Oh,
were
were
on
they cheap?
sale. Yeah.
Cool. We only have one sled.
15 bucks for
Not so
like a
bad.
regular sled. And then I got two of those, and then I got like a disc one that was only 10 bucks. So.
Nice. That's awesome. I'll have to see because we
Yeah.
only have the one sled, but it fits both of them.
Oh yeah.
But maybe we'll go do that so I can like not think about this anymore.
Right.
Because
Yeah, I'm gonna go eat ice cream or something.
lift our spirits in any way possible. If you have listened
Yeah.
to this story, I apologize profusely, but it's my job.
Yeah, like we
It's
asked you to do this,
my job
so.
is to find true crime stories that are true and criminal
And outer national.
and outer national, and this just happened to cross my path, and so you get to hear about it.
So, how did you find this story?
I wanted to do a Canada story for some reason.
Okay.
And so I was looking up, like I went to Murderpedia, which Murderpedia has so much information on this. Murderpedia, I just was like going through a list of names and I was just randomly clicking on one. And then I found this one because all the other ones were like one-off like crimes, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I gotta find a serial killer because that's just the bigger stories, you know? But then I found this guy and I was like reading it. And I was like, there's no way this is even true. And then I remember hearing about it referenced on Criminal Minds as well as on CSI or something like that, where they reference like a
Right.
pig farmer and it's like in their story. I'm like, I remember this. And so I did it and I regretted it, but I was too far into it that I was like, this is where it is.
Wow.
So neighbors
Dang.
to the north, Canada, just
You guys got some real messed up peeps up there. Sorry
yeah,
about it.
as polite as
So
you
do we.
are, you still have some nasty friends. Not friends, nasty,
No,
whatever.
neighbors.
Nasty neighbors.
I'm disgusted that he put remains into the meat.
I know.
And not only that, but like thinking about even if he didn't do that though, like his meat was produced by other meat.
Yeah. Fed by other meat.
Like, you know how they say like cow meat, like beef, is
Yeah.
better when it's like grass fed or something weird like that.
Yeah.
It matters
It
what they're
matters what
eating.
they eat. Yeah.
Or like, did you hear about the shrimp that was found like off the coast of Florida that was like they were just eating cocaine, so they tested positive for cocaine. Do you hear
No
about
way.
that?
No.
Yeah, I was like, now I can't eat shrimp because I'm gonna test positive for cocaine.
That
Oh my gosh.
is so weird.
It matters though.
Yeah. It does something to you, what you're eating. So, if anything, what you take away from this story is be mindful of what you consume.
Yeah.
Trusted places is where you get your food. You know what? Start your own farm. That's your New Year's
Yeah.
resolution. Start your own farm. Get your own chickens. Get your eggs. Get a goat for milk. You know what? I'm going to be a homesteader.
Yeah. Okay, let's
I'm
take
gonna
steps.
save money this year. That's my goal, is I'm gonna start a homestead. Nope, that's too big. I'm gonna save money to maybe one day.
You're gonna plant a garden because remember that strawberry thing that you sent me where you can
Yeah.
like
Put it
screw
on your
in
fence.
gutters on your fence and then you
Yeah.
plant strawberries. You should.
I do wanna
Let's.
have a garden. I
That'll
do.
be. Okay, that'll be mine too. I want to produce something edible this year.
that you know is okay.
That I know is safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. New
Yep.
Year's resolution. People join us. Do you garden? What do you make? I mean, what do you
Yeah.
grow?
What's
And
easy?
teach us how.
Right.
Because we know nothing
Right.
about it. So,
No, I don't.
well, I
Okay.
gotta go do
Well,
something happy.
yeah, I know. I'm gonna go eat some ice cream for realsies. Like ice cream and chicken nuggets or something. So that's me. Wait.
No.
No.
Idiot,
No.
chicken nuggets is ground up meat. You
No.
can
Yeah.
literally only have eggs and chicken breasts because they're not ground up. You can have a steak. You can
I can have
have,
steak.
what is, you can have bacon. Have
I
bacon
can
and
have bacon.
eggs
Okay. And
and
potatoes.
potatoes. Ha!
Yes.
No sausage. No chicken nuggets.
No. No.
No ground beef is going to be a hard one for me because we have that a lot.
We have that a lot too.
But they eat grass and we get them from reliable sources. I'm just making excuses to eat what I want
I
to
hope you're right. I'm
I
gonna
hope I'm right
go
too.
research like Foster Farms and wherever else I get my meat
And
from.
then call them and just say, "Do you have any suspicious activities going on there?"
Have you done recent background checks on your
On your
employees?
place, yeah. Well, I cannot risk it and just explain. I can't risk the
My sister just
possibility.
told me this horrible story and I can't shake it.
Thanks for
Thanks for listening,
listening.
everybody.
Yeah, sorry about it.
Yeah.
Next month is Katie's paranormal story. So if
Yeah.
this one really just made you sick, hold on to the possibility that the next story is not so gruesome and terrible.
It, well,
Oh
yeah, I
no.
mean, I'm gonna talk about some history of somewhere very historical, and it gets a little brutal. So,
Hopefully not as graphic. Oh no. Just, you know what?
we'll get there. We'll
Just
get there. Just,
eat some gum so you don't throw up.
yep.
And just know that we put a lot of work into what we're doing, even though it
Yeah.
sucks.
Even though we know you're cringing with us, sorry about
Yeah.
it.
Yep.
Okay, but thanks for listening and Happy New
And
Year.
Happy New Year.
Or happy summer to, or spring, I guess, to our June listeners. 'Cause
Summer, June is summer, is it not?
not until the 21st.
Well, happy almost summertime.
Yeah, like you guys are about to have Father's Day, so happy Father's Day almost.
Yeah. I love that we're like announcing it for the people that don't listen on Patreon,
That's
that we're like, oh.
the majority of everybody,
I
so.
know, it's true.
But Patreon
Okay.
members, we appreciate you.
We
Listen,
do.
you guys are our front row audience, and we appreciate you guys. Let's talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you for what you
Happy New
do for
Year.
us.
Write in the comments about what your New Year's resolution is, and also gardening tips if you have them. We're open to that.
And also, let me know that you forgive me for what you just listened to.
Yeah, we'll let you know. When
Yeah.
we've recovered, we'll let you know, April.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
I don't know if I'm gonna recover for a while. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyways, Happy New Year,
Okay.
and we'll see you later.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.